Jerry's remarks have been very representative of how generous the NAV staff and leadership have been to me, and what a privilege. Thank you, Jerry. And also John and others like him, how we appreciate the people that God has called to this, not our ministry, but his ministry, to help see to it that his great commission is fulfilled, that he meant what he said when it was to get to every creature, all the earth, disciples of all nations, irrespective of iron curtains, bamboo curtains, or whatever other kinds of curtains. The kingdom is like a good infection that are like the flu. You just can't stop it with police dogs and barbed wire. So what man can figure out to hold things out, God could devise means to get past. So we're very, very grateful for this. Well, now this is a unique privilege for me. The President's Conference, ever since Rod Sargent conceived the idea and we first began, seems each year to have an unusual blessing of God upon it. Some of you have been with us for most of these, whatever it is, 7, 8 years, and it's been special. Maybe it's because it's just after the holidays and the year is beginning, and it's a great way to get our perspective clarified, our sight set, maybe some goals clarified. Just a right time to withdraw and let God speak to us. Also, as I look around the audience here, many of you are my friends. I've been in your home. I've had home meetings more than once in your city and in your homes. The scary thing about that is you've heard most of my stories and certainly all of my jokes, and some of them several times over. But you know, we only have one message to give. Now, I never thought I'd be the speaker at the President's Conference. That didn't cross my mind until Jerry and several others in the committee asked me to do so. And I don't know if this exactly fits, but I reminded, maybe you heard about the fellow who studied both veterinary medicine and taxidermy at the same time. And that way, in either way, his customers would get their dog back. Well, now you had me as the president for a few years, and now you've got the old dog back as your speaker. You may be stuffed, you know, but he's not mounted. They'll have to catch him first. So that's a privilege for me. And I must say that I come to you with this responsibility in the spirit of 1 Corinthians 2. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And it's our earnest prayer, my earnest prayer, that that will be the case, not only for me, but for others who share and the workshops, to the end that our faith should not stand in the power of men, or rather in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I have selected for this morning to speak on this, our theme, Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. And I think I should tell you that I feel deeply, in fact, I find I'm emotional about it. Lucy can tell you this. And you know, sometimes you are aware that emotional disturbances come from the feeling of disparity you have between what you feel you are and what you ought to be. And this scripture has done that to me. And I want to present it in such a way that will be hopeful and encouraging and not discouraging. But this is quite a passage up there in front of us. It's quite a passage. And I hope that by the time my little time is finished this morning, it will be etched in our minds and carved in our hearts. Because it's worth all of that. And I'd like us to pause for prayer then and ask that God Himself would speak to us, each one this morning. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank You for this word. And above all, for Your presence and for the blessed Holy Spirit dwelling in each one of us to lead us into all truth, to teach us, and to help us to apply it. At the very outset, Lord, I want to be prompted, and everyone here prompted, to remember that this is not a do-it-yourself thing You've given us, but You live in us by the Holy Spirit to help us, to empower us, to teach us. Would You do this, Lord, today, tomorrow, and through Sunday? And I pray, too, that You would help each one of us to walk out of here with something clearly that we know You have said to us individually and personally, so clearly there'll be no doubt about it. Something that You want of us or to do for us in 1987. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You might turn to Psalm 128. I'm using the New King James. I was down in Wichita Falls in Wayne Watts and Francis in their home. We had a home meeting, and he took me over to his office, and he gave me a Bible. And one friend, then another one. And he said, I think you ought to have one of these. I thought, Wayne, I got enough Bibles. It's the New King James. And I thought to myself, furthermore, I think they're just inventing ways. They know Bibles sell big, and so here's another one. But I started to read it, and I love it. Especially for a man who spent most of his life in the King James. The NIV, I did that for 5 years, the RSV, and ruined my memory program. And this has helped me to get back to it. So that's the one I'll be using. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children, like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The blessing of God on your personal life. Verse 2, the blessing of God in your work. Verses 3 and 4, the blessing of God in your family. And 5 and 6, the blessing of God in your spheres of influence and outreach for the totality of your life and beyond it. And those topics will be my topics for my sessions with you and this morning, continuing through Sunday morning. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Now, blessed. I think, Lucy will tell you, I don't think I've ever worked harder on the message. I told somebody last night, I don't think I've ever worked harder and came up with less. But then I found I had so much to tell, I can't get it all in. But one of the problems is we've got some words here very hard to define. And one is blessed. And it's a plural word. Blessed. Nesses. Now you look around and it says truly happy. But somehow or other, Yeah, true. That's right. It is truly happy. There's a companion psalm to 128, and that's 112. I heard Ray Ho quote this one the other morning. Verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments." See, there is that same thought, but it's introduced by, "Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." So there is a happiness, there's a joy, there is an exaltation in that word blessed. Blessednesses. But there's also something else about it too. It's something deep. There's a joy and a peace regardless of circumstances, however they may be outwardly. For instance, back in that 112th Psalm, it says that the person who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways will be an upright person. And it goes on to say, that kind of person will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. This blessedness or blessednesses go deep in the life, your life, through your work, through your family, through your spheres of influence, regardless of outward circumstances. I think we begin more and more as we mature in the faith to grow into that kind of blessedness when we experience in life and in fact and in reality more and more of Romans 5:2. It says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And we do, don't we? The blessed hope as something to rejoice in. But you know verse 3 as well, don't you? It said, but we also rejoice in what? Our troubles. Both ways. Now when that is in our lives, that I think is the blessedness that it's talking about here. Blessed is everyone. And in searching around for a definition, I just couldn't find one. But there are the words of a song that you know that went through my mind that I think describes very well this kind of rejoicing regardless of what life brings. That kind of blessedness. It's day by day. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. What a blessing. What a blessing. Did you come with worries this morning? You got some fears down inside? There's a remedy. You can walk out of here with peace in place of me. And I trust that every person driving out of that glen, if that's a problem by Sunday, we'll know the relief that's yours. For whatever is burden. I know there has to be burdens. I know that. No group like this can get together. But what if we stood at the door and could look in the hearts as people walked in, we'd be amazed at the burdens being carried. That's life, isn't it? That's life. But my Father's, trusting my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. And whoever wrote this, I thought, knows life. That last, lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, both, mingling toil with peace and rest. That's the kind of blessedness we're talking about, isn't it? Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Now it says everyone. Everyone. Now if you noticed as I read through this, this is a psalm especially to husbands. Because it says your wife shall be like a fruitful vine, the very heart of your house, your children, etc. But you know, while it's written to husbands, it's written for everyone. It's just like the Bible. The Bible, parts of it are written to Israel or to the Corinthians or to the Ephesians, or to Timothy, but it's written for us, right? So this psalm is, while written to husbands, is written for everyone. Blessed is everyone. Well, think you can quote the first three words? I think we can. Blessed is everyone. Let's say it. Blessed is everyone. And you, of course, will soon forget. He talks. We know enough. We know about that. How many sermons since 1986 can you recall? And I've given a lot of talks myself. I wonder sometimes if they're worth the effort. But I tell you, that verse, I hope it sticks forever. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in His ways. Now we need to consider those two things together. Who fears the Lord and who walks in His ways, because they go together. Now there's some theology behind all this. Because the absolute foundational stones, two of them, of all evangelical Christianity are the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and therefore Lord, and the Bible is the Word of God and therefore our final authority. And that relates to fearing the Lord and walking in His ways. Now, one of our daughters went a year to a rather liberal university. And I don't know how it is now, but at least then I came to see I'd rather than go to a secular, avowed secular university than a liberal religious university. So she came home. I said, honey, tell me again, what is it they're trying to get you to doubt there in those religion courses? She said, well, two things. One is whether or not Jesus is the Son of God and whether or not the Bible is the Word of God. Well, they're smart. In fact, they're inspired by the devil because they're putting the axe to the very root of the whole business. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you. There they go together. And they stand or fall together. And so, I take these together. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in His ways. They go together. Now let's look for a moment back in Ecclesiastes, shall we? Ecclesiastes, we're going to look at the first two or three verses and the last two or three verses. And as Howie Hendricks might say, if you don't know what it is, if you can find Psalms, turn right. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, okay? It looks like it's just about in the middle there. Ecclesiastes. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now, the word preacher means searcher. The words of the searcher. The searcher for meaning in life. And this searcher tried everything, as you know, in reading the book of Ecclesiastes. Dr. Benjamin Chu, an elder statesman in Singapore, the father of our country leader for Singapore, medical doctor, had been a Bible student, deep Bible student for years. Also a reader of philosophy. He told me, in fact, he wrote a little booklet. He said, every major philosophy of history is in the book of Ecclesiastes, right up to today. Well, so this writer, this searcher, tried them all. He had the brains, he had the wealth, he had the power to try anything he wanted to. And he did. All in a search for meaning. Is there some meaning to life? In the very second verse, he jumps into the conclusion. And I don't know if you've ever read this in the Living. It sure comes out that he's a pessimist all the way through. You know, he kind of starts out by throws water on the whole business. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Someone said that could be translated soap bubbles. Soap bubbles. All is soap bubbles. You blow up a soap bubble and it looks so nice, it glistens in the sun, and you reach out to get it and a little damp spot on your fingers. Oh, over there's one. Ah, you reach out to get it and it's empty. Glistened, looked bright, attractive, gone. He said, that's life. Soap bubbles. Soap bubbles. A little damp spot on your finger. That's all that's left. That's life. And then verse 3, we found out why he came to that conclusion. What profit has a man from all his labor which he toils under the sun? He was looking under the sun. I hauled out my Strong's Concordance last night, and as far as I counted in a hurry, but at least 29 times it uses the phrase, under the sun. Under the sun, under the sun. What you can see in this life, looking around you. So what is it? It's vanity. It's soap bubbles. But now let's look at the last couple of verses in Ecclesiastes. Now you know, if you read Ecclesiastes, that there are occasional references to God. There are flashes of light through there. But now he comes to the last two verses. And the searcher, this wise, powerful, wealthy person who tried everything, says, everything, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the bottom line. I've looked at it all, experienced it all, thought it all through. Here's the printout. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's it. Six words. You know something? After searching under the sun, he said, well, the answer is not to be found under the sun, it's above the sun. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. That's what he's saying. When Dawson died 30 years ago last June, we had a staff conference a month later here, and Dr. Carnell spoke. And George remembers that was the year George and I started to work together. Dawson invited him to come at that time. And Dr. Carnell spoke on the subject of Christian heroes. And I didn't bring it, but the transcript, and I've looked it over the last few days. He said, as I got to know Dawson, Dr. Carnell was then president of Fuller Seminary. He said, Dawson was a Christian hero. He said, and I think that the navigators will make us safely through what are, I think, are perilous times in this turnover with Dawson's sudden death, if it's in the hands of Christian heroes. And then he defined from a book he'd read by Thomas Carlyle on heroes and heroes worship, and he applied that to Christian heroes. He said, a hero is first of all someone who has penetrated through to ultimate reality, to the meaning of ultimate reality. That's God, right? That's God. You know, Moses had done that. Yeah, Moses had done that. In Psalm 90, the psalm written by Moses, let me just call your attention to something. He starts out, he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now here they were, they're in the wilderness. And the cloud led them by day of smoke and by fire at night. And they didn't know if they were going to be in a place 3 days, a week, a month, a year. They wandered from place to place, no time to plant a garden. You couldn't dress up a nice cemetery. You buried people as you went. They had no certain dwelling place. So Moses said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. We have one. It's not in the wilderness. It's not in the desert. It's not in this world. But if this world goes poof and it's gone, we still have our dwelling place. He had penetrated through to the meaning of ultimate reality, God himself. The one who is from everlasting to everlasting. Yeah. And so, he went on to say that a hero, Christian hero, then lives by that reality in sincerity, honesty, in humility, and without reservation. It's the bottom line of life's ultimate. To fear the Lord and walk in his ways. It's not talent. We make a lot of talents these days. Not celebrities. We seem to take trivia and magnify it 10 million times. But here's heroes. And you know, they aren't recognized very often because we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking under the sun. And it's bigger than that. Well, he goes on here in Ecclesiastes. He said, well, the conclusion of the whole matter is, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, I was reading Ray Steadman's commentary on Ecclesiastes. He said that almost every translation says the whole duty of man, but the word duty is not in the Hebrew. Cross it out, he said. Add the words, the letters N-E-S-S. It's the wholeness of man. It's that which takes man who is disintegrated, going this way, that way, not certain about this. Tried that, it doesn't work, and all the rest. But it brings his wholeness. It brings him back together. Integrates, unites. And not only unites him in his heart and his life, but also in his work, in his family, in his spheres of influence. Psalm 128. Years ago, no one would know who I'm talking about now, but there was a navigator missionary in one part of the world who was very indecisive, just a neat guy and this lovely little wife, just very... could help a lover and a neat little family. But he was all indecisive. He couldn't make up his mind. Always uncertain. He wasn't sure if he should be a missionary, should he be the Lord's work, should he be here, should he be there. And his whole life was characterized like that. And you know what happens to a family when a father's like that. Then they're on nerves, on pins and needles, and they don't know what's up. And it affected himself, his wife, his children, and the whole thing. And I was visiting that part of the world and trying to figure out how to help this fellow. And an older, mature missionary whose counsel I was seeking said, Lauren, you know what I think his problem is? He said, I don't think that the great truths of the Bible have ever really gripped his soul. And I thought about that so much since. I think he's right. Leroy Imes told me, he said, Lauren, I've noticed Christians who are not in the Bible regularly are indecisive. But there is a stability and a steadiness about those who are. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways, because it brings wholeness to life. Your personal life, your work, your family, and instead of being disintegrated, it brings it together. Well, then one more thing that the searcher concluded. He says, you know, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. He said, there's going to be a judgment. And the focus of the fear of God will get you ready for that. Revelation 14:7 says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is at hand, or has come. Maybe you heard, I'm sure some of you have, I first heard it from John Crawford years ago. I love the story about the young preacher, country preacher, who went out to witness this. There was a farmer plowing in the field with a tractor, and he waited till the guy got up to the fence line, and he crawled over the fence to talk and was going to witness to this farmer, and the farmer didn't even stop to turn the tractor off, so the preacher had a yell. It's kind of an not the best atmosphere for a witness, but he was determined, so he said, "So are you a Christian, brother?" And the man yelled back, "No, the Christian brothers live about 2 miles down the road." And you remember how he tried another tack. He said, "Well, are you lost?" He said, "No, I've lived on this same farm for 30 years. I know right where I am." So he tried that third tack. "Are you ready for the judgment day?" He thought a moment. "I'll tell you what. You tell me what it is. And if I can't make it, I'm sure my wife will be there the whole time." Well, you know what? He'll be there the whole time. Every one of us should give account of himself to God. Last fall, getting older is fun too, if you got a sense of humor. One of our guys in India, we got a neat staff there. I was supposed to say South Asia. Pardon me. We've got to be careful about something. But anyway, it's India. Where is this tape going? I don't know. John said it was okay as long as we're careful where we publish it. But anyway, John Ridgway, our country leader, he said, "At your age, Mr. Sani, aren't you kind of afraid to travel?" Well, that kind of set me thinking here a little bit. And of course, when I realized it took him 3 days by train to get from where he came, North India, to our staff conference, I can see why you wonder why. You know, he didn't. I don't know if he knew much about flying 747s. But I got thinking about this, and somebody asked me, "Well, Lauren, do you see signs of the Lord soon coming?" I said, "I don't know that, but I do see increasing signs of my soon going." And either way, there will be a meeting fairly soon. And I have an account to give. But I want to tell you something. When you learn what it means to fear the Lord and to walk in His ways, it's going to take the sting out of that. It really is. It kind of brings us up short, but still, the sting isn't there. It isn't a cringing fear. Which brings me to, what is fear of the Lord? Now, this is the second word I've had a terrible time. Because I have to admit, nothing I've ever read satisfies me. And what I have to share may not satisfy you. One thing I wonder, if it's not fear, why is it translated fear? That's the first thing I tried to find out. And I looked it up in the Hebrew, and I don't know the Hebrew, but the strong, it says fear. I look up in the New Testament, the same thing. But then somehow they're to be afraid of, to cringe. That isn't right. Well, it's a reverential trust with a hatred of evil. And one I heard yesterday, I like better, it's to take God seriously. But I'm going to suggest another one. The fear of the Lord is a profound awareness of God. And I can best illustrate rather than define. In Genesis 39, we have the account of the attraction of Potiphar's wife for that handsome young man, Joseph. And she tried to get him to go to bed with her and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife." And then listen. "How then can I do this great wickedness in sin against God. Now there is a person who lived with a profound, continual awareness of God. And that awareness kept him from sin. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil, it says in Proverbs 8:13. And again in the New Testament, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now, by the way, I got pages on this. Fear of the Lord, I used to think it's an Old Testament concept. It's a whole Bible concept. And I'd love to tell you where it fits in theologically, but that's not the point of this talk. But it's profound awareness of God. That as we walk through life, we're aware of Him. And that comes out in the situations right then. Now in describing the wicked in Romans 3, it gives that long list, you know, they're the poison of asps under their tongue and that whole list. And the bottom line was, there's no fear of God before their eyes. And all that wickedness spills out with no restraint. Well, let's take another one. Take David. Now here's David and Goliath. Don't you love that story? I do. Here's a hero. Joseph was, so was David. David, you know, his dad sent him to see how the boys are doing up there in the army. And he find out they're all cringing for fear about this giant over there. And David looks around. He's just still a young man. And he says, what's going on here? And he spoke to the men who stood around him. This is 1 Samuel 17:26. He says, what should be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel? And listen to what he said. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? See, that's what came to his mind. He's defying God and God's people. There's a profound awareness in his life that everything in his life related to God. He forgot it once to great dismay. But he got back again. We remember that. But look at here. He goes on a little farther. Then he says to the king. He says, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. That's what concerned him. Then listen to what he said to Goliath. He said, well, you come to me with the sword. He said, the spear and the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Then he concludes, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He had a profound awareness of the power of God, of the honor of God. That was his concern. He was a hero. I think that's what it means to fear the Lord. So what I told you at the outset is, I examine my own heart, I feel like I'm a million miles from that. And I've gotten emotional over it. But I want to grow in this matter of the fear of the Lord. I hate being this way. You know, some of you know I've been. Some people say, what have you done as the president of the Navigators? Well, I cried a lot. That's a butt light. I'm a sentimental, emotional guy. But listen, this is absolutely, for me, this is something. Terry told you, we went over and talked to Rod. And there he sits, knowing that he's got a few weeks left, according to the doctors. Trying to decide if his boy should go back to Oklahoma to school, what, today? Or just wait around till his father dies. I mean, to talk about it, that openly. And then he says to Terry and me, the outstanding thought that that's coming to his mind has to do with the mercy of God. Uppermost in my mind is the mercy of God. Now listen to this. Listen to the scripture. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Now, that brother fears God. I've known him since he was converted. He is a Christian hero. He has penetrated through to the meaning of ultimate reality, and he's lit by it unreservedly. And what is God doing for him this week? What he said. His mercy. His mercy. Dear friends, do you ever doubt whether or not the Bible is the Word of God? And whether or not it's God's true to his promises, I stand here to say this. This is not a nice little poem with empty words that sound beautiful. This is reality. This is a fact of life. This meets life exactly where it is at its ultimate test. And therefore, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. And it's there right on down to the end. It's the real thing. Rod, do you have peace? Yes. Are you worried about anything? No. Is the devil giving you trouble? No. It's the mercy of God to those who fear him. Well, I got a couple minutes here. What does it mean to fear the Lord? We talked about it. How do you develop the fear of God? Quickly. Now I know what I'm telling you. Mature Christians, most of you here. Some of you a little newer. And I don't want this to be too heavy for you either. Been a little concerned. But I just want you to know that it's what I'm talking about is a great truth. And it'll sustain you in your personal life, in your work, in your family, everything right on down to the end. That's the whole of Psalm 128. That's what I want to get across. The fear of the Lord is developed by two things. One is by the Word of God. Proverbs 2:1-6, or 5. My son, if you receive my words, and listen to this, and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, if you search for her, you hear, you get the feeling? Not sermonettes by preacherettes for Christianettes. Not a little quick 5-minute devotional. As helpful as that is, I don't disparage that. I start people out in 7 minutes with God. But search, seek the Word of God. Then what? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then you'll understand. It'll take some struggle, some wrestling. But then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. I brought a couple object lessons here this morning. You know, if you want to be aware of the stock market, and that's nothing wrong with that, we'll spend some time in the Wall Street Journal, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to be aware of what's going on in the world, well, we'll sit with Time Magazine. spend some time in it, and we'll be aware of what's going on in the world, at least from Time Magazine's point of view. Well, I don't know what kind of magazine you read for the latest fashions or how to keep up on your house, but if you want to, well, maybe you want good housekeeping. Spend a little time. You'll be aware of what's new and what you can do and how you can spend more money in remodeling this, that, or the other. If you want to be aware of what's going on in the sporting world and, like me, are the Broncos going to make it next Sunday, I'm pretty aware of what goes on in the sports section. But if we want to have a profound awareness of God, we better see to it that we pull out this book and give it a prime place in our lives. Right? Then we'll understand the fear of the Lord. Well, I quit right here. Prayer I'll talk about. Let me just close one verse. The Lord loves that, you know, because it... Well, I have to give you this. Prayer, Psalm 86:11. Lauren said I could have about a couple of extra minutes here. This will wind it up. It'll round it out. It's the Word of God in prayer. Let me read Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Now there it is again. See? It's sort of back. Unite my heart to fear you. Pull me together. Pull my life together. Focus it to fear your name. And then, Lord, teach me your way. I'll walk in your truth. I'll walk in your ways. That's our prayer. Time of prayer. Well, what would be the result of that? Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. He likes that. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. There's no one around to talk to, just to think about him. He likes that. He takes note of that. Isn't that neat? Well, let's pray together. Our Lord, we come in varying stages of need, of experience, of maturity. I just ask that as you've promised, the Holy Spirit will teach us, each one individually, directly from you through this, your word this morning. And to make one thing at least stick that I would need for my life at this time. We want to take you seriously and live our lives with an increasing awareness of your presence and holiness and love and forgiveness and mercy and honor. So it will come out naturally as part of us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.